ladies and gentlemen, and good morning. And welcome to the Mr. Warren Hayes Show channel on YouTube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. I'm Mr. Warren Hayes. This is the Mr. Warren Hayes Show featuring Mr. Warren Hayes. But not your run-of-the-mill humdrum Thursday night stream. No. We're doing something different because it's Saturday. And usually, typically, if I'm up on a Saturday morning, it's to talk about professional wrestling. Because otherwise, I'm sleeping, man. What are you talking about? I know. And thankfully, I'm not alone in this craziness. Because look who I got right here. I got myself a partner, a pal, a chum who is going to talk wrestling with me on this. A chum who's going to talk wrestling with me this morning. It's this person who's just going around doing everything. And she's everywhere. WrestleZone, SES Scoops, and she has her own podcast on top of that, a wrestling gal. It's Ella J. It's good to see you, Ella. Thank you for being here this morning. Exactly, it's the Mr. Warren Hayes Show featuring Ella J today, if we're being completely honest with each other. But I appreciate you being here, because we are going to be talking about Money in the Bank. That's why we're doing this. It's a big pay-per-view weekend. My God, there's a lot of wrestling. Overall, there's just everyone's starting to open back up. Everyone is just doing stuff now. And now it's like piling on top of piling. And it's like, okay, if there's anything that the pandemic era is making me realize is that people like us, Ella, you know, we could have like normal sleep schedules. No, that's it. We're done. It's finished. It just doesn't happen anymore. We do it because we love, because we enjoy it. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Talking about Money in the Bank, which happens tomorrow evening on Sunday on the delicious, scrumptious Peacock Network or on the WWE Network for everyone else in the universe. So that's fantastic. So there we go. So there we go. We'll be good to go moving forward here. Looks like I had a bit of a technical snafu, but I fixed it. Okay. We couldn't hear you, Ella. But at least now, yeah, I know. That's my bad. The live show and all. But here's the thing. We're going to be able to hear you at the most important part, because I'd like you to tell everyone talk to us about yourself. What is it you do exactly?
How much time do you have, Warren?
I listen. We're trying to keep this in an hour. So.
Oh gosh. Like Warren Hayes said, most of the stuff is in my bio on Twitter because I'm losing track of myself. I am a host of a Wrestling Gal podcast, like Warren said, that just celebrated its 2-year anniversary yesterday, which
congratulations.
Is insane. Like Warren said, I'm also a contributor for SE Scoops and WrestleZone, and I'm also a proud member of Bell to Bells.
Never heard of it.
You know, gosh, Warren, I love Bell to Bells, though. You and Kristen Ashley and everybody involved, I love working with you guys. I'm also the editor of the Grown Ass Women podcast, Gawcast. And most recently, I am now also a host on Women's Wrestling Talk, which we will be filming a few panels tomorrow, which I can't wait to release.
Look at that. So that's exciting. Look at you go. Like, you're busy. You're busy as hell. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, that's also part and parcel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, Scoopsies, for those of you who are hanging out here this morning, Ella has prepared an interview for Bell to Bells with Vert Vixen, which mm-hmm. we are going to be releasing soon, because in conjunction at least with Vert showing up on AEW Dark. I think it's I can't remember if it's Dark or Elevation, one of those two, but Vert Vixen did wrestle, did tape there, so that's exciting stuff.
She's an amazing talent, and I love chatting with her always.
And it's a great interview. Like, I've already put it together, and it's ready to go. We're just being savvy with our posting. The marketing mind never stops. But Ella, it's fantastic to have you here, and I appreciate it. And, you know, everyone should follow Ella. I don't know what you guys are doing. There's rarely someone nicer and more professional out there than she is. definitely.
Sometimes.
What's that?
Sometimes.
No, come on. Come on now. But hey, I also want to say hello and thank you to everyone who's joining us here this morning, like Anakin JMT, who left us a super chat. Thank you very much, Anakin. Says it's the obligatory botch super chat because I had a technical issue. And
Warren.
I know.
It's a Saturday morning, though. We'll excuse it this
time. I know, but there you go. It's completely underscored now. I want to say, and we also say hello to Caleb Maldonado, who's here this morning. Good to see you. And he's in, who also subscribed. Thank you very much for the subscription, Caleb. Troy Gonzalez, nice to see you. Thomas Gorse.
I know Troy.
Hi, Troy. I want to get to know you too then. Since Ella's excited to see you, so am I. Got Thomas Gorris. I'm excited to see Thomas as well. Good to see you. And Ristlemania's here as well. Cheers, pal. Nice to see you as well. Oh, look, we got a full house. We got a crowd of people listening to us talking about Money in the Bank. As I usually like to do, I like to, before we get into the card, I want to ask you, Ella, how do you feel about how we got to Money in the Bank 2021 this year? Do you like the build? How do you feel about the job WWE did to get us to this point here?
You know, I think for once we actually have a pretty fair build. And I think it's the most well-built pay-per-view we've had since, gosh, maybe the Royal Rumble. Like WrestleMania, a lot of the stuff was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before, or the builds leading up were absolutely awful. And then we had WrestleMania Backlash. And then I honestly don't even remember what was the pay-per-view before this, Warren.
Hell in a Cell
in June. So, but the build for this has been really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like Kofi and Bobby Lashley, we've seen MVP tease in the mix. Even before Hell in a Cell, we saw that little teasing between Kofi and Bobby. And then you have Roman Reigns and Edge. That has been playing out really well over the last few weeks. Both Money in the Bank matches, obviously, some of them just didn't get announced till this past week on like Twitter and stuff. But I think overall, the build has actually been really, really great and a lot better than a lot of the past pay-per-views this year.
No, I have a tendency to concur, you know, that like, you know, there's always room to nitpick. There's always, because for me, like the main thing that makes zero sense for me is how these qualifiers worked. On Raw, the women had tag team matches to qualify. Mm-hmm. On SmackDown, it's basically like Sonya pulling people's name out of the hat.
It's because they didn't have enough people at the
time. No, I know. I understand the logistics mm-hmm. of it. I get that. But here's the point. If you're looking at SmackDown, you're like, man, we don't have enough people to do this. To do matches, well then don't do matches on Raw is my point. And even on the men's side, you know, the qualifiers were weird because you have people that's like, you know, we're having singles matches, but then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn had to have a last man standing match.
That's true.
Then you're like, my God, what did these guys do to deserve this to or get SmackDown. Into Money in the Bank, you know? I will overall concur with you. In regards to how WWE usually builds its pay-per-views, I think this has been, they've done a relatively good job at that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the outcome of this is briefcase owners running around with a chance to cash in at any given moment, which is legitimately exciting. The briefcase thing, I think, is one of these gimmicks that always keeps you guessing. You're like, oh, you know, like when Brock had it. Like, oh, Brock is going to cash in at any given moment. And that was, you know, mm-hmm. people get excited about that stuff. And I really dig it. And I love same night cash ins. You know, I love that stuff. I think it's great. I love the unpredictability of it. There's a lot of people, right? You know, over the past couple of briefcases, you know, Braun Strowman, Otis, the whole Otis thing last year that ended up being The Miz, maybe wasn't that great. Asuka just trading in the briefcase for a title. Like, a lot of people feel like the briefcase over the past couple of years has been mistreated a little bit.
They're not wrong.
So, what do you think? WWE should do this time around to make it exciting again.
I am ready for at least, and I said this on my Money in the Bank's prediction episode with Spencer. I am ready for at least.
Hang on, with who?
With Spencer, Spenny Love.
That from son Love of a bitch. Shout out to Spencer.
I want at least one of these Money in the Bank briefcases to be a lengthy reign. And by that, I mean, by my standards, at least longer than a month.
Sure.
Because we've had a lot of the same night or the next day cash-ins. I want a pretty lengthy run with at least one of these because you can do so much. Like you saw Carmella, there was always that threat at every single pay-per-view. Is Carmella going to cash in? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't always predictable with matches, at least on the women's side. And so I really want at least one of these. I really don't want a same night cash-in anymore. We've seen it so many times over the last few years or even the next night or whatever. I want something of substance, and it's always, you always have that third party factor and threat. Even if you think a match is predictable, mm-hmm, you always have to keep in the back of your mind, oh, there's that Money in the Bank winner that could possibly swoop in and claim that championship.
And I mean, that's something that becomes a constant, like for us who do prediction shows, then moving forward, you know, we're going to be doing our pay-per-views and then we'll get to the main event. Then we'll be like, mm-hmm. So is there a cash in? It'll always. So is there a cash in? Nah, mm-hmm. Not tonight. It's not the. It adds a level of conversation, which is really fun. And I agree, you know. And I, having rewatched a bunch of past matches, you know, and Money in the Bank matches, and reminding myself of who won and how they were cashed in, I was like, there's really something fun. There's legitimately something fun to the Money in the Bank concept. So.
Nah. And I can't wait for Money in the Bank to not be at the corporate building to be where it is in an arena.
And no one, at least we know no one's getting thrown off of roofs.
Yeah.
Roofs? Is it roofs or roofs?
Wasn't it Rey Mysterio last year?
And Aleister Black.
I completely forgot about that.
Well, Rey was on Raw the next night. Just shrugged it off. I just. Fell 20 stories. No big deal. I rolled through it. Mm-hmm. I rolled through the landing. that's what we got to do. That's what we have to do here. And I hope I'm with you on that. I hope there's at least one long extended period where you're always like, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people were annoyed at the fact that Otis had to defend his briefcase last year. That doesn't bother me. I actually kind of dig that. You know, like
I personally loved it because I love The Miz. But
because you're super biased. But I actually like the idea of the briefcase owner putting it up and saying, okay, you think you can take this from me? Fine. Come right. Come at me, you know? And maybe it's because I'm a New Japan viewer and the winner of the G1, who gets a briefcase for a specific show. It's not exactly a Money in the Bank thing, but he usually at least defends once in the lead up to Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, and we've had that a few times in WWE, like Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, and then, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Kennedy and Edge?
Yes, you're right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's I'm actually okay with that. If it were to happen again, it'd be fun. You know what else is fun? Seeing Mags in my chat on a Saturday morning. Good to see you, Mags. Hope everything is good over there in the UK. Let's start talking about it. Let's get into the pay-per-view Money in the Bank 2021. I am going to be reading going through the event as it's presented to us in reverse order on WWE.com. Start from the basic matches to the more high-pressure, high-level ones. So let's start with a match that was added just this week. Feels like the replacement for Bayley versus Bianca Belair. Instead, we're going to get the SmackDown Tag Team Champions Rey and Dominic Mysterio versus the Usos. It's a family feud. Get Richard Dawson in there or whoever.
It's on the kickoff show too, apparently. I heard them say it.
I was gonna say, okay, yeah, I was gonna say it feels like a pre-show.
Yeah, thing. That's what they said yesterday on SmackDown anyway.
So look, live crowds happened last night. We're taping this on the Saturday morning after the first SmackDown back with live crowds. very exciting stuff. So we're going back into this is what we're going to be doing moving forward. And here you have Rey Mysterio and Baby Champ versus the Usos. How do you feel about all of this and the Usos and Jimmy and all this good stuff?
I feel like it's kind of, well, I mean, I get it. The Usos were obviously proclaiming that they want to become the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, like, again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'll be a great match, but I also kind of wish that they had some involvement in the championship match or later on. And then again, maybe they could, because nothing is certain in wrestling. But again, maybe it is just the filler. I mean, it was an easy match to put together, mm-hmm. and it made sense too. Maybe it was just the substitute for Bayley versus Bianca, which obviously is not happening now because Bayley is injured. So I mean, I think it's going to be a great match. I would think if it's on the kickoff show, the Mysterios would retain. But also, like, the Usos as tag team champions have flourished in the past. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I love the Usos. I think I legitimately think they're one of the best tag teams out there. I worry about Jimmy Uso, but that's a whole other discussion that, you know, within an hour we're not going to get through. And I mean, Rey Mysterio is, you know, he's a legend. He's Rey Mysterio. That's just who he is. You know, I just have trouble with Dominic, Ella. I'm not going to lie. And I want to give everyone a chance to flourish and grow. But, you know, I don't know how far back, you know, you can go with your wrestling, you know, history or whatnot. But Dominic Mysterio gives me some real David Flair vibes. You know, David Flair being the son of Ric Flair, who decided to get into wrestling but didn't have the natural ability or even a quarter of the charisma that his dad has. You know, Dominic just, you know, I have trouble getting into him because I think he's lacking in a lot of stuff that makes high level professional wrestling. You know, I don't think he's there, and that I have trouble getting into this. Like, my gut would be to say, just put the belts on the Usos and have Rey get some singles runs instead. You know, that would be the way I'd go about it. But it's a very personal thing. It's just because I look at Dominic and I'm like, I can't take this guy seriously. Like, I don't know. Like, he's not bad, but he's, you know.
You're the first person I've seen say that, to be honest with you. I think he's had great runs with, you know, barring the whole Buddy Murphy, Aaliyah thing. He had great matches with Seth Rollins that I don't think you can deny. I mean, maybe you can.
No, no. But, No. Here's the thing is, like, he's not. Look, I've said this before. I'm on the record saying this. Having watched wrestling for so long, mm-hmm. I don't think there is anyone, except for one wrestler on WWE, and people who watch the show know who she is. There's no one in wrestling right now who is bad at pro wrestling. I have seen bad professional wrestlers on main level stages.
I know who you're talking about too. And I don't even know who it is, but I think I know.
Well, I mean, outside of Goldberg, okay? Because Goldberg at least had some traits. He had the charisma, he had the look, you know? But you get, like, you know, you do get people like David Flair sometimes. You're like, what am I looking at? You look at, you get guys like Van Hammer. You're like, what? Why is this guy getting paid? This is ridiculous. So like, Dominic is not a bad professional wrestler. Is he good at it? He's better than I am, you know? And frankly, you put him in a match with a guy like Seth Rollins, I'm like, I hope to hell you can have a good match with Seth Rollins. Seth, I think, did everything, like, navigated him through it all, for sure. You know, it's just like he looks a little dopey. You know, I'll say, look, the greatest thing that Dominic Mysterio ever did within the Aaliyah stuff and the Buddy Murphy feud was that time he wore that cotton turtleneck, you know, that came up to under his chin with with the chain. That to me, that I think that's the point where I'm like, look at this dork. Absolute dork. I can't take him seriously. Oh, but Warren, he's wearing Gucci. I still looks like a dork. You know?
I think Warren digresses, though.
Slightly. Who do you have winning here? And chat, please let us know who you think is going to win this Battle of the Titans here. Who do you think is coming out on top?
It really depends on the outcome of the Universal Championship match. But I think I'm going to stay with the Mysterios.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think they'll be changing the titles. Changing hands on the pre-show.
No.
Although, you know, it'd be, you know, for the head of the table angle, I think it'd be pretty rad if I kind of feel like they rushed this a little bit because they needed to replace Bianca versus Bayley.
Bayley, yeah.
They're going to run this again. They're going to run this match again, probably at SummerSlam, and then I could definitely expect a whole different outcome. Chat seems to think that the Usos have got this though. Interesting. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm with the Mysterios retaining on this one for sure. Next match that we are going to talk about is another tag team match for the other championship. This time it's for the Raw Tag Team Championship. AJ Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders. I love the Viking Raiders, Ella. I always have, always did. Loved them when they were War Machine. And even though WWE have done their best to just ruin everything that was great about them, doing goofy, like, cause that's the thing. It's like when you follow their career from early on, and they're just these two wild men who just come in and they just wreck face and they leave. When I see them with the Street Profits doing putt-putt golf, I'm like, no, I understand what WWE does. They like to do the comedy bits. They like to show our superstars can do anything. But look, my point is that despite the efforts, I still like War Machine. I still think they're a great tag team. AJ
Styles still is real to me, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. AJ Styles is one of the greatest of all time, and Omos is tall. Tell me what you think about this match.
I don't see Styles and Omos losing here because it's not like one of the big five. Well, no, I would say it is part of the big five pay-per-views, Money in the Bank. But I don't think if they're going to lose, they're going to lose at SummerSlam. And AJ Styles has been losing a bit lately with all the qualifying matches and all that. So I don't think he can afford another loss. I wouldn't be mad if the Viking Raiders won. I think that'd be great momentum for them. But if they do win, there's no way in heck that Omos takes a pin or anything. It would be AJ Styles. And so for me, I don't think AJ Styles can afford to lose again over, you know, maybe, but as much as I think it'd be cool for the Viking Raiders to win, I think if they are, I think hold off till SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. So for now, I foresee Styles and Omos retaining.
That's interesting, because I'm also with them retaining for this one, but for an entirely different reason. I don't think it has anything to do with AJ Styles. I think it has everything to do with Omos, who is, you know, I'm being sort of facetious, but, you know, he's tall. Like essentially at this point in his wrestling career, this is what he has demonstrated. He hasn't he can throw clotheslines. He can pick people up by the head and throw them. Okay, that's cool, you know. What else can you do? I mean, maybe that's all he's going to do as well. Like WWE, they love their big men, and you know, big men booking in WWE is a very specific thing. They have a very specific move set.
Yeah.
And they don't crack from that. So when it comes to Omas, I feel like they still have a lot to do to establish him as a big man. I don't think he's... I think it would be much more of a detriment for him than AJ Styles. I'm sure at this stage in this career, AJ Styles is like, I don't care about wins and losses anymore. Like, if there's a guy who's got nothing to prove on this roster anymore, it's AJ Styles. And they can... He could have a 0-30 win-loss record. And they could pluck him into a Universal Championship and just drop him. People be like, yeah, cool. Because that it make it's AJ Styles, right? I think it's more for Omas. I think he has to continue. Mm-hmm. I think he has to continue being in a position where I'm dominant. I can beat up two equally big guys, but maybe they're a little shorter because I'm so tall. You know, that's my his principal attribute. He's tall. He's very tall. You know, I'm completely with you, and it stinks because I really like the Viking Raiders. But then again, this is WWE. It's not necessarily the home for tag team wrestling either. You know, so
no,
it really isn't. So I think we're both in agreement here. Both.
Yes. So far.
So far. All right. So let's keep this gravy train going. Then next match we're going to talk about is the Raw Women's Championship. Rhea Ripley versus Rick.
He's thinking about Ric Flair.
I got Ric Flair on the mind. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair for, I think, I did some math before we started. This is the 73,000th time that Rhea and Charlotte are in a match together. Isn't that, you believe my math, right?
Yeah. You have to be right, according to Warren Hayes' calculations. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, I don't know what algorithm you used, but...
Oh, you know, it's very scientific. I have a calculator.
Ah, okay. Don't spill all your secrets, Warren.
Oh, yeah, no, that's it. I mean, you know, you have to pay the big bucks. You have to join the Patreon to find that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know how to start this off, Ella, because there's so much disappointment in regards to these two women and their never-ending feud. There's so much disappointment in how WWE is handling Rhea Ripley. Like,
she's a tweener. You don't know, like, is she a face? Is she a heel? Charlotte's clearly the bad guy, but Rhea Ripley's also copying some of her tricks. Like,
I don't understand why they're trying so hard with Rhea, right? No, because, and I know, like, most people are, I'm not being innovative here. I realize this is not like a new hot take. But because I know a lot of people feel the same, but I think it's also the truth. Like, Rhea Ripley in NXT was so wonderful and it was so simple. Then have her be overly made up, you know, with the eye shit. And it's just like she comes in leather spikes. She looks like a badass. She talks a bit. But when she talks, it's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And you're like, yeah, she is going to kick her ass for sure. And now it's like, and they're doing bits with the crutches, and I don't understand what's going on with the, and this is the third, this is the mulligan, right? Because they did the call up for Rhea for WrestleMania 35, and now this is the mulligan, they're trying again, and they're still screwing it up, Ella, in my opinion.
However, though, this matchup is the one I have the most uncertainty about because I can see it going so many different ways. And me and Spencer talked about this in our prediction show. But Spencer. This one, oh, man, I really think that this one is going to end in a no contest.
Really?
Yeah, Because, man, in Spencer...
That's a bold prediction.
Spencer is of the belief that, at least as of a couple days ago, that Charlotte is going to win. And then obviously that's going to lead up to SummerSlam where Rhea would take it back. However, I don't want a month title reign again. And so it's like, how do you establish both of these and then potentially lead up to SummerSlam, where I think that's really going to be the moment and the platform where we're really going to see who's really the winner between this feud, like as they've been going back and forth. And you're like, what is Rhea Ripley's place? She's kind of in the middle. Charlotte is so clearly the heel, but Rhea's also low-key copying her. And so bold prediction, but... The eighth entrant in the women's Money in the Bank match has now been confirmed, which leaves a lot of speculation. Is Becky Lynch going to appear? And mm-hmm. So Becky Lynch technically never lost her Raw Women's Championship match. Mm-hmm. And so for me to protect both competitors in this match, I think a no contest or a disqualification. Maybe Becky Lynch runs in and then that's how it ends in a no contest and leads to SummerSlam, because Becky has that bragging right. Maybe call me crazy, but I really think this is going to end in a no contest. I really don't think either competitor can really afford to lose here, at least cleanly. I don't think it's going to be a clean ending at all, broadly.
That's okay. So I can't see this feud continuing. I think this really? Has. Oh, I can't. I honestly can't. They've had. They've been in so many matches with each other at this point, and they've been so involved since WrestleMania, essentially. You know, I think it's time to lay this one to rest, tuck it in. It's like, all right, good night. We'll see you.
So Rhea has to retain then by your calculations.
Does she though? Because I think WWE is going to do everything humanly possible to get people to get excited for SummerSlam. And I think,
I think
outside of, you know, them deciding to go with outside forces like Bill Goldberg, I think they legitimately are going to, I think Becky's coming back for SummerSlam. I don't think I think she's going to be on Raw on Monday. I don't think she's going to show up at Money in the Bank.
Maybe.
But I think she's going to be on at Raw on Monday. That would be my, like, if you're letting me handle things, that's how I should do. That's how you do it. So there's really two ways to go about it. It's either you go with Rhea and Becky, which is a relatively fresh match, relatively fresh feud, but you go with Charlotte, which is, well, for all intents and purposes, it's a little more of a money feud because they have the history. This is one of those where they can just flick the switch and you know both women are just going to gobble it up. They're just going to be like, yeah, we're all in on this and we're going to make it happen kind of thing. We're going to give it our all. And frankly, I think with the way that ticket sales are happening right now in WWE, the fact that they're canceling house shows and all that, they cannot not pull out all the stops for a big SummerSlam. As much as they made a big deal out of live crowds returning last night on Friday on a SmackDown, I think that they have to go with their big sure things. And I think Becky and Charlotte is one of these things that energizes the base, gets people talking, gets people pissed off at Charlotte because she's probably going to win. And, you know, Becky starts a struggle to win back her title kind of thing. And I think that's all cool. I don't think Rhea is the woman because just because of the way they're booking her, just because how they feed her the lines and they don't feel natural coming out of Rhea. And this is not Rhea's fault. They should be playing off of Rhea's strengths as opposed to trying to have her do all this goofy shit and try to... Rhea's about kicking it and coming in, kicking ass, going home. That's what she should be doing. Not these overly complex stories and weirdo stuff. And I think it does... I don't think she can hold her own with Becky. Because Becky is just going to be on fire. She's going to be unstoppable. And she goes off script. Becky goes off script. Rhea right now, you can see she's running the lines. She's got the next three lines queued up in her head to make sure she doesn't forget them. You know, you can see it. So, frankly, I think Charlotte wins because that's where we're going for SummerSlam.
I think Rhea retains in some fashion. We'll see. But I think we're both in agreement that Becky Lynch will be popping up very soon.
I would not be surprised if Rhea were to retain from with as we like to say in the business, a fuck finish. I don't know what business says that.
No, I don't think the match is going to end cleanly at all. I really don't think. I think this is going to be one of those where you're going to have like a DQ or no contest or somebody has the foot on a rope or, you know, I don't think it's going to be clean.
If I've been watching WWE long enough to understand their booking well, I think that, you know, the story of Rhea trying to emulate Charlotte being a dirty player. Mm-hmm. I think Charlotte is going to end up being is going to end up winning by being a dirty player to show Rhea's like, hey, you're still the student, I'm the master, mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, you've tried, bless you, but you know, I'm still the one. So we're in disagreement here. We're in disagreement here. Let's just put it.
I wouldn't be mad if Charlotte won. I just, part of me still wants really that redemption from WrestleMania of last year where I really want Rhea to overcome Charlotte and have that great moment. So I think part of it has to do with that.
I'm in agreement with that. I think there's a little more.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think that they're doing right by Rhea. And I think it's showing and I think they're going to move back to... I think they're going to Charlotte. And don't forget, they really want Charlotte to beat Ric Flair's world title record. They really do.
I know. And I would love for her to be champ, but I just know if she is, it's going to be a short title reign again. And I don't want that.
I don't think so. I think they're going to go with Becky, but they're going to make Becky work for it.
Maybe. I mean, I'm okay with that. If Charlotte wins, I'm okay and happy with that as long as it's not another 3-week reign.
Sure. Okay. I can get behind that. Money in the Bank ladder match. The dudes. We got Kevin Owens. We've got Drew McIntyre, Riddle, Ricochet, John Morrison, Big E, Kinsuke Nakamura, and Seth Rollins.
Big pop, the crowd goes wild.
Hell of a lineup, if we're being honest, right? Tell me about this match, Ella.
I'm super stoked, and maybe it's just me personally, but we're going to be seeing some first-time matchups like John Morrison and Seth Rollins, both masters of the drip, Johnny Drip Drip and Seth Rollins. And not only that, like they're both super athletic and hot and have the capability to be so high flying. So that's the first time, as far as I know, that they're going to be sharing the same ring, excluding a Royal Rumble, blah, blah, blah.
No, sure. Yes.
But they've never been on the same brand at the same time, or at least if they have, they've never crossed paths. So that one I'm really, really excited for. And like you said, there's a lot of possibilities going into this. But for me, there's really two people that I think stand the greatest chance. And they're both from SmackDown and one is Seth Rollins, but I think it'd be really cool if Big E took that chance and imagine if it, and again, this is likely not going to happen, but there's always, if Big E wins, they're like, what happens if Kofi wins the WWE championship match later in the night or whatever, you know?
I love that.
That would be spectacular. And like, it would start really the tease of the dissension of the New Day. Obviously now they're on different brands, but they still support each other, and maybe that could possibly lead
up to why do people want the New Day to split up? I do not understand. Listen, that I don't understand it.
Do you know how amazing though that triple threat match would be? Like, it's just like, do you remember the Shield? The Shield had amazing matches against each other, Warren. Yes, they were great as a faction, but I think a lot of people want that moment and also that run, that singles run for Big E that we've really, really been yearning for. And he's not IC champion anymore. No. So why not?
I am in agreement 100%. I think Big E, look, you're making a big deal about live crowds being back, that you're excited that people are excited that you're back. give the audience, and the audience is moving forward, I think the one guy who will get everyone legitimately excited and who people will be legitimately happy for. You know, the one, the good, the sending the people home with a good feeling. Mm-hmm. You give it to Big E. And then over the next few months, you have Big E being a lovable jerk with the briefcase popping up. You know, just bringing out a lawn chair or what the fuck ever, you know, at the top and just like with the briefcase on him. And he's, you know, he's knocking back some sodas because it's a PG-13 show, you know. Yeah. And you know, I think that's how you go, right? And you're right. Like, there's on top of that, you were talking about fresh matches, John Morrison and Seth. That's awesome. You know, Ricochet and Shinsuke in here. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not overshadow the fact that we have that over the past 3 weeks, even though they've been facing each other week after week, John Morrison and Ricochet have been fantastic mm-hmm. together. They've been highlights on, you know, the dismal abyss that is Monday Night Raw. and now they're going to be in the ladder match. You know why those guys are in the match. It's to do the crazy stunts.
Yeah. Same with Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Owens is always launching himself off a ladder.
Ella, can we just say for a second, because I haven't properly talked about this. On last night, on Friday Night SmackDown, in a nothing match that had no stakes whatsoever, Kevin Owens climbs the tallest fucking ladder and launches himself off through a fucking table.
Through the table.
And I'm like, Kevin, I love you, but why? Why are you doing this on a nothing show?
That was so great.
I love him. But to me, Kevin Owens has, I've talked about this, he's been the glue of SmackDown.
Yeah.
For months at this point, just holding it all together. What chances do you think Drew might win? Because he's the top guy.
See, when me and Spencer said this, he was under the assumption that Drew or Riddle was going to win this. So totally opposite of me. I was like, I don't want it. I don't want it. Drew, I mean, I would understand if they do because of that sentiment of having the crowd back and stuff. But I think a lot of people are tired of Drew in the title picture, unfortunately. And it's nothing to his fault, you know. It's the booking and all that and kind of the, I don't know what the word is, hype or magnetism around him is really
the worn aura. Off. Let's call it the aura. Aura.
Yeah, it has really worn off. And I think we just want something new. He doesn't need a championship mm-hmm. at this point. He held down the Thunderdome era. He held down the pandemic era. Give us something new and like just give us something new, really, mm-hmm. you know. But I think for me, it's between Seth Rollins and Big E to win this briefcase.
If it wasn't for the gender feud that they're building, I'd be a lot more confident or weary in saying, I think Drew might win. But I think the Drew stuff is an indicator that they're not going to the gender stuff. Is an indication mm-hmm. that they're not going to go in that direction, thankfully, because I love Drew McIntyre, but I think we're good with him out of the main title picture for a while. I think we'll be okay with that because I love him. I really do. But it's mm-hmm. I think he has been overexposed. They're starting to Roman Reigns him. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So we're both in agreement. Big E for this one. I think It's a logical winner here in what should be a pretty fun Money in the Bank ladder match.
Or there's this really fun scenario with Seth Rollins. I can see him coming in at the end of this Universal Championship match. Again, I have a whole theory, but I guess I'll get into that when we discuss that Universal Championship match. But I can also see Seth Rollins winning.
Want to say hello to Tim Traver, who joined us in the chat. Good to see you, Tim. Longtime friend of the show. And Jeff L. from the hood, he says. Good to see you both. Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Zelina Vega, Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Ash. Liv Morgan, Natalia, and Tamina. That's a bit. I'm not feeling it. I'm not gonna lie.
I think it was that eighth entrant aura that in hype that everybody was looking forward to it, and nothing to discredit Tamina, but I think everybody was so hyped to find out, oh, it could be Sonya Deville, it could be Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks. And then once it was confirmed that both of the women's tag team champions are in the match, obviously they're not going to be winning because their tag team division is already floundering and you need them to hold that down. Mm-hmm. Obviously none of them are going to be winning. Mm-hmm. And how Sonya, and again, maybe somebody can get injured and replace them, but as it stands now, like, Sonya Deville, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks is not in this matchup, and you can already exclude two people from winning this because they're already tag team champions.
Yes, I agree.
And so I think after that announcement, I'm like, eh, but still holding out hope that maybe somebody pulls a Lana like we saw in the Royal Rumble and Becky Lynch took her place. Maybe I'm hoping something like that happens.
It could be some. Sure, I wouldn't put it past them.
I'm praying.
That'd be pretty, because look, there's a lot of talent in this match. That's mm-hmm. the thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for all the shit that Natalia takes, I don't think that she's half. I think she is one of the soundest wrestlers that they have.
Yeah.
In the company, Nikki Cross. She's always been fantastic. Yeah. Asuka, she's fantastic. Naomi, if a motivated Naomi is good for everyone, and that's. It's entirely dependent on her, because we've seen her just go in and do the motions and leave, and we've seen the opposite as well. So that's entirely dependent on her, on what she wants to do. Zelina Vega, God bless her heart. Sure, she's, you know, wrestled, but she's not as good as a lot of people are making her out to be. I think Liv still has a lot to prove. This is one of the women who's improved the most before our eyes as far as wrestling, watching WWE goes. I think she's one of those who's improved the most. And Tamina, man, I mean, this is just a question of her injuries and her surgeries. There's only so much she can do at this point. There's a lot of physical limitations in regards to her. But the outlying thing, the one thing that's making me not excited for this, it's the sorcery and hypnotism and nonsense that Alexa Bliss is bringing to this. This is what's bothering me. I'm not going to lie.
Elaborate.
I'm not a fan of the look, I've been, like I said, in another life, I did a whole bunch of stuff. And I did acting for a while, a very, very short while. But I've taken classes. And, you know, doing the match my body movement thing, you know, that's a warm-up exercise. You know, you don't go do that live. Like, that's community theater shit. I don't like it. It interferes with the flow of a match. And that's where I find, that's the moment where I'm like, no, this is breaking the match apart. When they have to pause whatever's happening in the ring. Hell, they did that a few weeks ago when they had, that six-woman tag match? There's six people involved. And because Alexa Bliss is suddenly doing this to Nia Jax, and Nia Jax is going, then suddenly no one else is doing anything. Just ruins the flow of the match. What am I watching? I'm not watching this for spooky supernatural powers. I'm watching this because I want to see people wrestle. And I'm afraid of what Alexa Bliss, not Alexa Bliss herself. Again, it's not her. It's the creative that they're saddling her with. That's the problem. I like Alexa. I've always liked Alexa. I think she's always done fantastic work. But this, as little as possible. And frankly, I think she's going to win. I think she's going to win the briefcase because she's going to have it grow fucking bat wings or something. And it's going to float down and into her hands.
Huh, see, I don't see her winning at all. Honestly.
Who do you think is going to win?
If we're just going with and assuming everybody in this matchup that's been announced is staying in this matchup and there's not any substitutions, I have I'm narrowing it down to one person, and this is a person whose shirt I'm wearing, Liv Morgan. And again, I was really holding out hope for Sonya Deville,
yes,
and Liv Morgan, because they've been teasing it for weeks now. And then I think that would have been such a cool moment to, again, build up a new star, much like Carmella won, and then really have them go at it for maybe a few weeks and then see Liv or Sonya have like a long time and then eventually become champion. I think it's time that we have an underdog. I think really the last time we had an underdog or a dark horse win the Money in the Bank match was Bayley, and look what she was able to accomplish. Asuka last year was such the obvious choice, and nothing to, you know, she's great, but that was such an obvious choice. And mm-hmm. So I'm ready for kind of this dark horse or underdog. So immediately I'm eliminating Alexa Bliss and Asuka mm-hmm. from this, because mm-hmm. they have been predominant for weeks. Nikki Ash, I love her, but I think her thing is so new and they need to develop that more. I don't think she needs Money in the Bank. Maybe they promise Zelina Vega the Money in the Bank briefcase. I mean, I can see that. And then obviously you're not having your tag team champions win that, so that leaves Naomi and Liv Morgan. And again, Naomi now is down a partner. So, I mean, I'd be cool if Naomi won too. If like, a motivated Naomi could absolutely run, but by process of elimination, for me, it has to be Liv Morgan.
And I would be super confident in calling for Liv Morgan to win if she hadn't been the last woman standing last night on SmackDown. That's a kiss of death right there. That's WWE booking for you. And, but, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know what? You're talking about dark horses and things just coming out of nowhere. I'm willing to bet that Zelina Vega is going to win at this point. Because she lost her return match, and she hasn't wrestled on TV since. This is the kind of stuff that WWE loves to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, we swerved you, pal. You know. But I still think Alexa Bliss is going to, the lights are going to go dark, and then they're going to come back on and she's going to have the briefcase in her hands. It's going
to
be
I don't doubt that they're going to do some theatrics, but to me that brings a whole new exciting element to Money in the Bank, maybe. And like you said, kind of that, not mystique is gone, but that shock value is really gone now that the eighth entrant is no longer a secret. True. And yeah. So I think you need some shock value, and Alexa Bliss brings that to the table, at least for me.
Liv Morgan and Sonya feud, that's something I hadn't thought about that, but that's such a good idea.
I want it.
It's really good. Sonya in a position of power and being sort of abusive to Liv, and then Liv at some point is like she has enough and she just, you know.
Yeah.
Like Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe, but with people more interesting than Karrion Kross. All right. Well, there we go. So that's for the Women's Money in the Bank. Let's talk about, oh, by the way, I just want to say hello to Tom Colihue, who popped in the
chat. Oh, hey, Tom. How are you? I love Tom.
Universal Champion Roman Reigns is going to be taking on Edge, who, I'm not going to lie, I was surprised at how big a pop he got last night, Edge, when he showed up on Raw. Apparently, people really like Edge. Ella?
Yeah, as they should. Metalinkus, iconic. It was so, so nice to hear live again.
Yes, it was. It cool. Really was. So this goes back to their WrestleMania stuff, Roman Reigns and everything. Look, I'm going to come straight out of the gate. Roman Reigns not only pinned Edge, but pinned Daniel Bryan on top of Edge to win. Like, this is a placeholder. This is a placeholder match until they get into WrestleMania. This is a one-time thing. I feel like it didn't make sense, and it's not necessarily a match I'm excited to see. That's just me, because I feel like the pin has been put in this one with the WrestleMania win. We get Roman versus Cesaro, who put on a match of the year, like legitimately one of the best matches that WWE will put on this year. And now we're going back to Edge, who was decisively beaten. I don't know. Tell me your thoughts. I'm a bit of a sourpuss when it comes to this kind of stuff.
I want you to ask me, who do I think is going to win?
Okay, who do you think is going to win here?
Seth Rollins.
Oh, I see where you're doing here. Okay. It depends on the positioning of the card, right?
That is true, but I'm under the assumption that this match is going to be closing out the show.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I could be wrong, but in my head, this match is closing out the show. And again, shout out to Spencer Love. He came up with this amazing concept. You know, Edge is obviously coming back, but also earlier in the year, he was kind of teasing some heelish ways. And so I think a lot of people, or at least I, would love the Ultimate Opportunist back. And obviously Roman Reigns has been very, very dominant. And I think if he loses, it would not, again, be cleanly. You got to protect your champion. So maybe Edge has had enough and you see shades of the Ultimate Opportunist again. Maybe he gets himself DQ'd, lays down a couple of chair shots and then Burn It Down starts playing. And Seth Rollins comes in and really, I think Seth has really kind of turned people over the last few months and kind of become loved. And so maybe Edge then turns shades of Ultimate Opportunist and Seth Rollins comes in as the hero. Again, I could be totally wrong, but I would not be opposed to a Seth Rollins cash, and in my mind, I can see it. I could be totally wrong, but
I'm completely down for same night cash-ins. I think they're great. Wasn't Seth Rollins the last man standing last night on SmackDown?
Oh my god, I didn't even realize this. Listen, Warren, they've done.
Warren, this is what they do. This is what they do. They're like the last person you see holding the briefcase. You're like, nope.
Well, they've done that in the past, though, where the winner, whoever comes out last standing, like, didn't Bianca Belair come out the woman the last standing the SmackDown before WrestleMania, and then she won?
I believe so. But weren't they always just, wasn't she and Bianca, wasn't there, not she and Sasha, excuse me, wasn't their feud just like coming into the ring and then one person leaving the ring and then pointing to the WrestleMania sign? Wasn't that all they were doing towards the end? It's like, you know, Bianca's there and she's going like this. And I'm then Sasha's like this an and example. She's going like this, you know?
But there's been other Money in the Bank spots where the winner, like, wasn't it isn't like Randy Orton when he won? Wasn't he the one on top the SmackDown before?
I will. I don't remember the specifics, but the conventional WWE booking wisdom will have you say whoever is left last person standing in the ring.
I forgot
on the go home show. Is not going to win. That's conventional wisdom.
You're crushing my hopes and dreams, Warren.
I'm sorry.
Big E would be another one, but I can really see Seth Rollins winning too.
You know, I hope Big E. I'm still a Big E guy, but I mean, look, if Seth cashes it, and it makes sense, you know, and Seth has been taking shots at Roman in promos and stuff like that. So I like that if there's a slow build to something and they're laying and they're just, you know, setting some breadcrumbs, fantastic. Good for them. That's kind of what I want with that's how you build proper stories. That's how you build proper feuds. You just don't like ham fist and it's like, it's this person's turn to feud with you, you know, kind of thing.
If no cash in though, then no doubt Roman Reigns retains in some fashion. No doubt.
I think Roman retains. I don't think they're going into SummerSlam without Roman Reigns as the Universal Champion. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Regardless of who they have planned for them, if it's John Cena or whoever, it doesn't matter. I don't think they're gonna do it. I think Roman retains. I think we're in agreement. And the final match of the evening that we're going to of the card of the morning of today that we're gonna be talking about is WWE Champion Robert Lashlington versus Kofi Kingston. I'm still very high on the Bobby Lashley train. I think Bobby Lashley, I'm going to scream this to the high heaven. He is and was the best booked wrestler in all of WWE. I'll zero it down a bit. Male wrestler in WWE since 2020, starting with the Hurt Business, the thing with MVP molding into the Hurt Business, becoming an indestructible US champion. You know, where he basically went through this is how you build a champion, Ella. You have the guy go through the mid-card. and he can't be beat. He loses the title in a three-way. Our boy's not. He was never pinned for the title. He didn't lose it. Another chump lost it because. Yeah, you heard me.
John Morrison.
Another chump.
Excuse me. Ella has left the chat. Excuse me.
And then Lashley's like, okay, I'm done with these mid-card fools. I'm going for the top title. What does he do? He wins the top title. Mm-hmm. And he's holding on to it legitimately. And he's a badass. And it works. And it's the good. He is the good guy. The good, the right person to be holding it right now. Because we are fed up of Drew. And he's perfect. He looks the part. He acts the part. You know, there's certain things in the presentation that I would have changed, but they're changing it. He himself. Last Monday was like, look, I'm done MVP with the champagne and the girls and all that shit. I want to pit. And I'm like, good, because that's it. That's what a champion does. That's what you do. He comes in because that's what he looks like. He looks like a guy who can kick anyone's ass. Make him just act like that. The rest is superfluous, you know? He's the most legitimate champion they have on the men's side. I don't think anyone holds a candle to him. I love Kofi. Kofi Mania, fantastic. I'd love Kofi to have another run. But I think Bobby Lashley is too hot still right now. What do you
think? This match, unfortunately, has ruined for me due to the announcement of Bill Goldberg coming back at SummerSlam.
Poison!
And my hope for Kofi has dwindled down, unfortunately, and in... like even any hope that I had for Kofi, and again, Bobby Lashley, of course, he's been tearing it down. But and I think I was so hyped for Kofi versus Bobby Lashley, like who's really gonna take this home? But now that we know for certain that it's most likely going to be Lashley versus Goldberg at SummerSlam,
mm-hmm.
The outcome is obvious. And whether it's Bill Goldberg comes out at Money in the Bank or tomorrow. Bobby Lashley is retaining here, and my heart goes out to Kofi Kingston because that would have been something so special if he won it back. And then if it was Brock coming back, I never thought I'd be rooting for Brock in any instance, but I would honestly rather, and this is just my opinion, I would rather have Brock versus Bobby or Brock versus Kofi. I think those two would have had more drawing power. Maybe that's just me, though.
No. I am in complete agreement with you. Here's the thing that they want to do with bringing old William Goldberg back to face Lashley is that they want to give Bobby Lashley like the win over Goldberg, as if it still means something. You know, should you bring Brock back to give Bobby Lashley the win over Brock? That's meaningful. That would mean something. That's a feather in your cap right there. Goldberg, who gives a shit? Like, you know, over the hill, it's going to be a 5-minute match where he's going to try and lift people and he's going to, you know, look like a goof because he can't do it anymore. He just can't. He's going to, it's always the same. Why am I on a Goldberg rant? But it's always the same. You brought it up. It's your fault, Ella.
Don't blame me. Blame Twitter.
He's going to come in. He's going to look like $1 million, Goldberg is. He's going to do everything that made Goldberg Goldberg. He's going to look like $1 million. He's going to come with the intensity. He's going to look like a badass. And then he's going to wrestle and everything's going to be like, oh, right, this guy stinks. It's true. It was that, even when he was in his prime, that's what we were saying.
He's got to fulfill his second match of the year that's in his contract. At least that's what I heard anyway.
Yes.
So, poor Kofi.
Yes, poor Kofi. But, I mean, we can hold out hope I think Kofi should get another title run down the line. I don't think it should be against Bobby Lashley. Goldberg aside, I think Lashley is too hot right now. And I think there will be meaning to Lashley beating Kofi. And on top of that, I think we're going to have a really good match because these guys are going to work really well together.
No doubt about that. It's just like the outcome is obviously ruined. And
oh, yeah.
if, even if it is a great match, like they've been, I think, building up really well, because you would see MVP like taunting Kofi, like, come over to the dark side, yes, blah, blah, blah. And now there's really going to be no real big payoff, because once this feud's over, you're going to go immediately into Lashley Goldberg. And where does Kofi go from there? Who knows?
Back to the tag team division you go.
Probably.
So overall, Ella, so that's the card. Ella, are you expecting this to be a good show, a bad show, somewhere in the middle? What's your gut feeling overall?
I think overall good. I feel like it was lessened by now the certainty in the WWE Championship match. But however, it's really the uncertainty with who the heck is going to win Money in the Bank. There's so many cases to be made, mm-hmm, really, for a lot of the people in there. And there's always that threat, especially in the Universal Championship match, like, even if I think Roman is clearly retaining, but there's always that threat of that Money in the Bank cash. And I think it wouldn't be too shocking to see at least one Money in the Bank cash. And however, I want the other one to take its sweet time and ride that wave out and really give us that unpredictability going into every pay-per-view, then, like, oh, in the back of our minds, or maybe people forget, and then when that person's music hit, like, oh my God, we're going to see a cash in. No, I want one of them. I'm okay with one of them being the same night or the night after, but one of them, give me a smooth ride.
Like we were saying, like you were saying at first. Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, like you were saying at first, let's have a lengthy one, a couple, yeah, of, give us a couple of months here down the road kind of thing, just to get excited about it. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Ella, this was a lot of fun. No big surprise, because you are a fun person, you guys. Tell us, Ella, just before we go, I want to thank you for being here. Of course, it was fantastic. Let everyone know where they can follow you, social media, your podcast, and all that stuff before we go.
Well, you can probably find most of them in the link in the description below that Warren put. But you can follow me on Twitter at It's Ella J and Wrestling Gal Podcast. On Twitter and Instagram at Wrestling Gal or WrestlingGal.com. And you can listen basically anywhere you find your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, all that fun stuff. Again, we would be here for days if I listed every single link. But if you go to my Twitter bio or the link in the description below, you can find all those links.
There you go. And you should follow Ella, because she's fantastic. She's all over the place. Even if you don't want to follow her, I think she's you end up seeing her.
I'll pop up. I'll be there.
Ella, thank you so much for joining me on this Saturday. I really appreciate it. Thank you infinitely. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. And Warren, I can't wait to see you next month at this little thing called NWA.
Mm-hmm. We are going to be sharing some same space over there. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, we are going to be showing up there, aren't we? Gonna go get some content, goddammit. Mm-hmm. Gotta live for the content, gotta get them views. but yes, it is gonna be exciting. I'm looking forward to being in St. Louis for that. St. Louis. St. Louis? St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm French.
St. Louis.
I'm French, so, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, that'll be fun. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you regardless in the meantime. And thank you everyone as well who joined us here this morning live, or if you're listening to this on demand later on, appreciate it tons. Do consider giving the video a thumbs up. That kind of stuff always helps here on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. And subcribe if you want. That's also really cool.
Subscribe, yeah, to the Warren Hayes Show, now featuring Ella J.
Exactly. We know who the draw is. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Have a great Saturday and enjoy the pay-per-view. See you next time.